Okay, so today on the Loopcast, I have Archie from the Arch Assault project. So this is basically an Arch Linux pen testing OS or distribution. You can find them at archassault.org, on Twitter as archassault. You can also find them on GitHub. They have a wiki, which is wiki.archassault.org. So basically, you know, on the Loopcast, we always try to do, you know, we've brought in sort of thinkers, we've brought in guys who think about strategy, guys who think about operations and tactics and whatnot on when it comes to InfoSec. But we're trying to cycle in more people who do development stuff, sit there and who create products or bring a new product to market and for use. So I think the Arch Assault project was sort of a great way to sort of talk about, you know, not just pen testing, but also what goes into sort of developing a product to be used for pen testing. And so I have Archie with me, one of the developers, to discuss that. So I want to start off with, give us some background for this project. You know, what sort of brought you to the idea of developing a pen testing distribution as opposed to, you know, any other distribution?
Well, I've always had an interest in the security side of computer science. And I never really started working with any distributions. I've been a long time user of Arch Linux, but I never really got into the development side of things. And I sat down and said, okay, I want to start working on an open source project. So I started developing and finding people, and we built Arch Assault. And go ahead.
Oh, you know, when you started building Arch Assault, you know, what were some of the sort of challenges? What was some of the road bumps and sort of the bumps in sort of making this distribution?
We had a few snags at times. We had to, first, gather a lot of tools, and we had to pull in a lot of older tools that, you know, wouldn't compile with older versions of, you know, GCC. And so we either had to patch things or we had to, you know, just not utilize those tools. A lot of the hard part was finding tools, finding the licenses, because we try to keep all of our tools licensed. That is a requirement and a major thing. So if a developer does not have a license, we will contact them and make sure they get a license installed so that we can utilize their project. Otherwise, we will not put it in our repository. And then, of course, you know, long hours of sitting down and coding and building and testing. We have 8 repos between our testing and our main repository, and that's one for each architecture. We have ARM v6 and ARM v7. And i686 and x86. And essentially, we will build a package build for all architectures if we can. And then we push that out and build it in a Trude environment for each package. So each package gets its own base system on Arch to build on. That is the recommended way of building packages on Arch Linux. And a lot of the challenges, you know, was trying to come up with that process and trying to set standards. A lot of these open source projects are at times aren't always organized the best. You know, there's a lot of chiefs and nobody to lay the law down. So we found a philosophy that we liked, and we stuck with it, and it's seemed to work out well so far.
So, what would you say your development philosophy is? I mean, was it, you started with open source, and everything was going to be open source. Everything was going to be, essentially available from, GitHub and sort of other open source projects. Or, what's your development philosophy, basically?
Well, we are very big on the open source side of things. We believe very much in the open source, but we do have we do push to a private repository before we push anything to our public GitHub, and we do that so that we can take the time to work on a package that might not be quite ready for the public to get access to it, and that allows our developers to really really work on things, fix things, and they can share things without having to push something broken into the repository. All of our packages get thoroughly tested as much as we can, but we don't have a lot of testers, so broken things do come out, but not very often. We hope that people will reach out when something is busted. We also have our bug tracker as well, which is bugs.archassault.org. That is integrated into our website.
So I'm sort of curious. I mean, when you develop and when you sit down and you come up with this project, how do you incorporate the end user? How do you incorporate the guy who's going to be using Arch Assault? I mean, was it just a matter of just putting it out there and, when people use it, they will complain or they'll, submit, requests? Or did you sort of have the end user in mind as you go through each step and you go through each sort of development cycle?
Well, we have a philosophy that I like to call no coddling, because it is Arch Linux and we are longtime Arch users. We try to keep things to an Arch standard. I mean, it's not a Debian distro where everything's kind of just given to you. We do our best to package everything up so that when you run a tool, it's going to work right out of the box without having to make any kind of tweaks. However, there are some things that you would have to, set up Apache or set up MySQL to utilize a certain tool. And that would be on the user, necessarily not on us. We try to provide instructions to a certain extent, but we can't really provide instructions for everything.
Now, I'm sort of fascinated. You do include ISOs for ARM boards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, those are not actually ISOs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just so I can be correct. those are tarballs. And basically what the tarball is, it's a root image of all the tools on it. That's not true. It is a root image of Arch Linux, of the Arch ARM version of Arch Linux, with our repositories included into there. So that since the ARM disks are, you know, much smaller than your regular hard drive. We have to basically install the repository but not install all the tools. Our tool set is about 652 tools right now, and that includes all dependencies and everything needed to install. That being said, if you take like an 8 gig disk and try to install Arch Salt on it with Arch, it will not work. You probably need about 15 gigs to properly install everything and still have some left over. And I like to do about 20 gigs to round it up. So it gives you with about 5 gigs of extra space. Some of those packages are really, really large. You know, we have things like Cuckoo Sandbox. That package is about a gig by itself. So as you can see, that grows. I think that's all I got.
No, I mean, to circle back to the question, I mean...
That probably got went off the topic, so...
No, it's all right. You know, why have sort of a... Why consider BeagleBoard and Raspberry Pi and sort of other sort of ARM architectures? I mean, is it simply because of the Raspberry Pi? There's, you know, 1.5 million people who have, you know, or... There's, you know, 1.5 million boards out, you know, out in the public. I mean, why include Raspberry Pis and Beagle boards and other sort of ARM systems, architecture?
Well, we did it mainly because the other developer, ARM Guy, is a fairly large drone person. And his thought process was to take the ARM images and build the Arch Assault repository on top of them so that you could have drones flying through the air with, you know, Nmap or Metasploit or, Cuckoo, things like that on them so that you could, you know, write scripts and code and things like that to gather data while you're, you know, flying through the air. That was a lot of the basis for doing the drone side of things, or the ARM side of things. And
go ahead.
I was gonna say we try to support every board that Arch ARM supports. But I don't think we actually have every single board supported. If you look at our wiki page, we have a list of all the ARM boards we directly support and have images for. And it's about 10 boards right now. We are trying to gather and get more, but you know, that takes time.
So I'm sort of curious, and I think this is what sort of, you know, is really cool about Arch Assault is you're including drones in your, you know, this is just, it sort of blows my mind, right? Because like, you don't ever think about including a drone in a pen test, or at least it never crossed my mind until I started looking at your website and sort of doing the background for this conversation. But, you know, With the drones, I mean, you know, do you think, you know, what are some of the challenges for developing software for the drone? I mean, is this something like that was easy breezy that you could just do in an afternoon, or do you have to sort of, you know, start from the ground up, so to speak, and sort of work your way up, you know?
I spoke too soon. We basically had to have a pre-built cluster of ARM devices to build the ARM repository. My partner ARM Guy has a fairly decent cluster of ARM devices that he builds each package on and uses like a DistCC setup to share the load between each ARM device. And that allows for each binary to be properly compiled for that specific architecture. What happens if you don't utilize if you're not compiling directly on an ARM platform like a BeagleBone or Node XU or something like that, you could possibly have issues when you try to run that binary against a slightly different architecture. For example, if you compiled Bella, it's a SSH C scanner, C-based SSH scanner. If you compile that on, with QEMU and said that was ARMv6, that might work on one ARM board. But if you try to take that to another ARM board, it may have different erratic results. So we try to build things to the Arch ARM standards so that we can build things. We try to keep very closely into ties with our upstream, being Arch ARM and Arch Linux. And doing so, that allows us to better report bugs, to better get things solved that are an issue on those different upstream OSs. As you were talking about, why would you want to bring a drone on a pen test? Well, perfect idea, I could say, is your drone could be outside doing surveillance for you while you're inside, inside the server room with your Dropbox or something. Or that drone could fly around before doing some reconnaissance, I'm not sure you say that, and, collecting, access points and gathering, web keys and things like that. So then you could gather that data before you actually go in. You have a much better perspective of, you have a much better layout of what you're going to be pen testing on. Because you also have to worry about the physical security as well as the, software or hardware security of the your site.
Well, it certainly makes war driving more interesting. I mean, I guess we were talking before the show, and it's basically I have my antenna, my GPS, and then you have to sort of, either have a friend drive you around the county and sort of collect, map out Wi-Fi points or access points and correlate them with their location data. But I mean, with the drone, it almost seems like you just put it up in the air, and you can do the same thing you would do with, basically running a Python script, but on a drone. It's mind blowing.
Oh, and of course, and it is, and a lot of these drones are autonomous, so you can basically map out a plan for them to fly over, and then write scripts to run when they're over certain areas, and they can execute and gather data for you. And then when they fly back to their home base, they can have all that data to gathered.
Sort of curious. I mean, have you thought about a sort of expanding, not just looking at drones, but sort of more ground-based robots? I mean, I guess the most popular conception of this would be the Roomba, but that's, you wouldn't want to, I don't know why you'd want to put this on a Roomba, but I mean, do you see yourself, sort of expanding this and putting it on more robots or even sort of including more robots within sort of this distribution?
Possibly. I mean, I myself have never actually built a drone, never really worked directly on a drone platform. So I can't say for sure that would happen, because I can't honestly think of a good reason at the moment. But if it is, you know, ARMv6 or ARMv7, most likely it would probably just work right out of the box, as long as you could put, you know, an SD card in there and put a, you know, put an OS on it. Most of our stuff will just work out of the box, usually.
You know, for some reason I have an image in my head of somebody basically putting Arch Assault on a Roomba, but I don't know why anybody would do that. But
I was trying to think of why, and I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, maybe I don't know. I guess you could. I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be cleaning your house. That's about it. just for fun, I guess, because you can.
Probably. I mean,
you ask why do we put this stuff on these ARM devices? Well, because we can, because we want to. It's a different market. So
I mean, I would say, you know, it's almost like, you know, a lot of these ARM, you know, chips or whatever, you know, they're being included in more products. I mean, it's not like, you know, I think you guys are sort of ahead of the curve in the sense that, you know, there's going to be a lot more robotics in the hands of pen testers and in the hands of, you know, developers, and, you know, sort of getting ahead of the curve and sort of making, you know, ensuring that the software is there, even if the hardware is not. But I don't know.
Well, the some of the hardware probably has to be there. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Software can already be in place for when the hardware is available. But you kind of have to have the hardware to do to have the software. So right. Kind of a catch-22.
Right. So I think I've sort of asked everything that I wanted to ask and on the list. Here on the show, we try to give the guest the last word, or give the guest sort of the last comment to leave the listeners with. So if you can, or if you want, just give us a last comment before we go.
Well, I'd like to say that I hope everyone checks out archassault.org. And if they have complaints, they complain. And we will try to fix things in a timely manner. I hope that we don't get a lot of flamers, because that will happen. And, you know, like I said, I'll honestly be nice to have people just check out the project. You know, but even if they were, we would still do it. Because it's fun.
No, so. It is. Go ahead. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.